Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer indicates he'll support a GOP funding bill to keep the government open past tomorrow. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
Senator Schumer says he will vote yes on the continuing resolution.
I believe it is my job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms to the American people.
He said the only person who wants a government shutdown is the president.
Because it will distract from his true agenda, delivering massive cuts to the rich, paid for on the backs of American families.
The move is a major concession for Senate Democrats, who said on Wednesday they would block the measure, calling it too partisan. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
The Trump administration is expected to appeal an order by a federal judge in San Francisco to bring back some 30,000 probationary workers who were fired from at least six government agencies. CBS's Jake Rosen with more.
The judge in the case said it's a, quote, sad, sad day when our government would fire some good employees and say it was based on performance when they know good and well that's a lie, he said at the end of the hearing at the union's request for a preliminary injunction. Quote, that should not have been done in our country. It was a sham.
President Trump threatens a 200% retaliatory tariff on European wine after the European Union proposes an American whiskey tax. Kevin Estrada manages a restaurant in Manhattan.
The last thing we want to do is raise the prices, but we have to in order to keep our profit margin.
A rare twister touches down in Los Angeles County's Pico Rivera neighborhood. National Weather Service meteorologist Ariel Cohen.
This was a tornado that extended over a path length of approximately 1 mile, path width of approximately 80 yards. It lasted about a couple of minutes, and it did produce quite a bit of damage.
Public works crews have spent the day clearing trees and debris from the streets while Southern California Edison has been busy restoring power. The search for missing University of Pittsburgh student Sudicha Konaki is still underway in the Dominican Republic. She was last seen, according to investigators, on the beach by the resort where she was staying a week ago. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Punta Cana.
The waters just off the Rio Republica resort where Konaki was staying with her friends. But this search is not just happening along the surface of the water. There have been dive teams looking below. There are coral reefs down there. And also we're told that investigators have been looking at mangroves that dot this coastline.
Congressman Raul Grijalva's office says the 12-term Democrat from Arizona has died after complications from cancer treatment. And fewer Americans filed for jobless claims last week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
The Badgers advance. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Northwestern Wildcats today in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. The final, Wisconsin 70-63. John Tonjay asked if the Badgers were a little nervous heading into this one after the loss at home to Penn State over the weekend.
I don't think there was too much nerves for me. We knew it was going to be physical. We know every game at this level, especially in conference play, is going to be tough. So we just had to come out here with the right mindset, and I think me and the guys really came with that.
Wisconsin faces UCLA tomorrow afternoon around 1:30 in New York. Marquette winning today in a close one, 89-87 over Xavier at Madison Square Garden. The Golden Eagles advance in the Big East tournament against the number one seed St. John's tomorrow night around 5:30. NBA, Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight in Milwaukee, but LeBron James will not be there. He's back in LA getting treatment for a groin injury. The Bucks trying to snap a three-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're headed to the theater this weekend, there are lots of new releases to choose from. Personally, I'm most excited about Black Bag, a spy thriller and the latest effort from Steven Soderbergh, which stars Michael Fassbender and Cate Blanchett. The film is currently drawing a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Black Bag is rated R, probably for coolness. Another film reviewing well that opens this weekend is Novocaine, which is being labeled an action, mystery, comedy, thriller. That's some serious bang for your genre buck. The film stars the red-hot Jack Quaid as a man who feels no pain and is trying to rescue his kidnapped girlfriend, played by Amber Midthunder. And if you want to introduce your kids to your favorite cartoon heroes of yesteryear, check out The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. Porky Pig and Daffy Duck team up to save the Earth from an alien invasion. This is the first ever Looney Tunes fully animated feature film released in theaters. The film is receiving a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 40s. Breezy tomorrow with a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the mid 70s. Some showers and storms tomorrow night that will mix in with snow Saturday and windy with falling temperatures. Sunday, sunny but colder, high-low 40s. Currently 57 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, a live interview with candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Brittany Kinzer, on why she's challenging incumbent Jill Underley.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dick. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, we are awake, and it is good stuff there. Hey, full moon ceremonies tonight for our Native women and those who identify as female, Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, and AIFC in Afton, East St. Paul. So, Haley, where is that exactly? I know you go to it at times, and it's in the East St. Paul area.
Yeah, for sure. So we got full moon ceremonies going on tonight. The East St. Paul one with the American Indian Family Center happens at the Bellwin Conservancy Savannah Center, which is in Afton, Minnesota. It's not too far from East St. Paul. But that address is 795 Indian Trail South in Afton. And what a full moon ceremony is just kind of time for us relatives who receive our menstrual or moon cycles. You could also be a female in menopause. We also include our two-spirit and trans relatives as well. But it's just a time to connect with Grandmother Moon and honoring our cycles as women and how they kind of sync up with the phases of the moon, too, in that 28th cycle. So, yeah. That's important. It's always good to partake in those if you're a woman. Come check that out. I know Native American Community Clinic also puts one on in the Minneapolis area, and I want to say that'll be at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis, 2501 Cedar Avenue, at 7:30 tonight. That one's going to start in Minneapolis. The American Indian Family Center's starts in Afton at 5 o'clock, so a little bit earlier. And then if you're going with the family center in Afton, it is a potluck. So bring what you can. You also want to wear a ceremonial skirt, like a ribbon skirt. Mm-hmm. Bring a copper cup, small bone and bowl and spoon, a hair bundle if you want. Yeah, it's a good time. And then 5 a.m. too in Afton.
Wow, that's very cool. Native Americans called the last full moon of the winter the worm moon. And do you know anything about that, the worm trails? I suppose worms are starting to activate at this time of the year. Is that a fair assumption?
I think so. Yeah, like worms coming out like as the snow melts and stuff, and definitely has to do with like sugar bushing too. So I know Native Americans called that the worm moon in March because of the worms that would appear in the newly thawed ground. Other names, I guess, that they call the March moon is like the Chaste moon or the Death moon. Also the Sap moon, after the tapping of the maple trees, which we call sugar bushing.
Well, I wonder what Chaske means, because I know a Chaske, and
I don't know.
He's Lakota, and that's cool. And I've met other Chaskes. That's crazy. So I'd have to text one of my friends that are fluent. Oh.
Yeah, if it had a K in it instead of a T, for sure. But it's also the lunar eclipse today. So a lunar eclipse kind of gives us a view on Earth of that red glowing kind of blood moon. So beginning tonight, Thursday, and then into tomorrow morning, the Earth is going to pass between the sun and the moon. And that's kind of what results in that phenomena of like the red blood moon. And then also, it's been 3 years since we had our last total lunar eclipse, and we won't have one until 2026. So if you're able to check that out tonight, definitely go outside and spend some time with Mother Nature and see that beautiful moon.
Yeah, good call there. And I know the moon affects people in different ways. And also blood moon, I remember being told years ago about the blood moon being dealing with battles. And the blood of people in battles, and real interesting about that. Hey, there's our friend Robert Lilligren. Hey, how's it going, Robert?
Yeah, bonjour, Haley, bonjour, Robert. It's going great. How's it going with you?
You know, hanging in there. It's good to see the Democrats fighting back, and I'm enjoying this a little more than I was maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, oh, agree. And you've been active too, right? You were at the state capitol. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, I've been up there a couple times. One was talking about education, and the other time was, I guess it was yesterday. I was trying to ask Haley, and she said it was yesterday, and I thought it was like a few days ago. So, you know, being a little busy here and head spinning and not sure what's going on, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yes.
Yeah, and that was for the rice. There were things being that were ended up being the Republicans ended up chairing a lot of things, or tabling a lot of things, which was really interesting strategy. And but that was supposed to be up for discussion, and so we'll see what's going on. But great news since last time I talked to you. It's a tie now in the House, and now we can be an equal partner with the Republicans.
Right. So if folks don't follow Minnesota state politics, we have a very divided state legislature, both the Senate and the House. And so there's been a lot of kind of weird missteps and things. And there was a Democratic House member who won his election, but then was disqualified by a judge for not meeting the residency requirements. So there was a special election. So during the interim, while we were waiting for the special election, there was a one-seat lead by Republicans in our House. And, man, they tried to take full advantage of that, you know, power sharing went out the window for a while. Exactly. Now they're back to a dead tie, 67-67, so they'll need to come up with some power sharing or formula.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed too, that the Republicans have been attacking the governor because in, what is it, 2 years or a year from now, we're going to be in a deficit. But partially because of why we're going to be in a deficit of what's happening federally, you know, and really have to call that out, because I feel like, again, the news is not doing us well, and only playing one side and not really calling people on BS.
Right. And, you know, there was already this deficit looming, and that's coming off of what was a surplus. And that's the ebb and flow of state budgeting. And then nobody really knows what the ultimate impact of the federal antics might be, and with those resources getting cut, and it's just it's it's difficult, right? At the community level, you know, a lot of the service nonprofits, we don't know where money's happening. At my our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, we're fortunate that we don't rely on federal funding, or at least not in any sort of significant way. But a lot of the Native service nonprofits do. And and then all these whack things, like with the EPA, you know, we have this beautiful Indian Center in Minneapolis. It just went through a almost $35 million renovation, improvement, modernization. It's gorgeous. And a big chunk of what they had, their funding was federal, and some of it was from the EPA, like $3.5-4 million worth. And that money was allocated to them, spent, but now they can't get reimbursed for it. So suddenly there are these, you know, surprises like that.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we love catching up with Robert, and we're going to talk a little bit. Now that we've touched a little bit on the politics, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Native American Community Development Institute. There's a lot happening, so we'll be right back after this short message, Haley.
Stay with us.
Oh, hey, we did that together. Oh, wow.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakeemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wakeemup challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin. Oh, Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Haley, you've been perfect for 2 years, and I think I'm rubbing off on you. Oh, wow.
Definitely that one. If
people
I don't
do that all
the
time, Haley, between Native American Community Clinic and Native American Community Development Institute.
You guys are doing something fun with Native American Community Clinic, right? Looking for some artists.
Oh, yeah. So Native American Community Clinic, a very important medical services provider here in the urban Indian community, and they are planning a new building. It's impressive. It's a six-story services and then housing above. Very impressive. And so they have worked with NACDI, our organization, and All My Relations Arts Director Angela Two Stars to to secure to help secure some Native artists to do art in association with the building and the design. And so we just posted the call for artists. You can find that at All My Relations Arts. And yeah, it's just a really good opportunity. And it's just one of a number of projects along the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we got things happening tonight. So I want to get with this before people get sick of listening to me. I want to get to make sure that we talk about this, the stuff that's happening. You guys are hosting a third listening session for the Four Sisters Medicine Garden tonight on March 13th. And that's going to be from 6 to 7. So hopefully you'll have your little transistor radio with yourselves while you're walking.
Great. Yeah. So this is a great community event, listening session with community for our medicine garden. Four Sisters Food Sovereignty is sort of our umbrella food program. We have Four Sisters Farmers Market and the medicine garden. So 6 to 7 at the Dakota Lodge at Division of Indian Works, right on East Lake Street, 10th and East Lake Street, 10001. So people can stop in and yeah, and have their voices heard there. And then also at our urban farm, Four Sisters Urban Farm, we are boiling sap right now.
Yeah.
And we've, for the first time ever, tapped maple trees in the area. We have some partners like the Indian Ed at South High and Center School Youth and others. And so we're actually boiling sap right there at Four Sisters Farm on 29th Street and 17th. About, so folks are welcome to stop on there as well.
Yeah, I just talked to, after the showing last week, Haley and I were at the art gallery, and I ran into the person working with you that's doing work on the tree sapping this year, and it sounds really exciting.
Yeah, was that Gloria? I assume. Yep. Gloria. Great. Yeah, she's our farm manager, and man, she was really driven to do this sap boiling and tapping the trees. And so she had to educate herself, and she had to connect with partners so she had access to trees. And it's really a whole community effort, like almost everything that NACD does, but lots of good partners, and it's exciting. And so I think she had three pints of syrup that they've been generated so far that I've gone home with some of the partners, and more to come.
Well, I know I'm going to try and get Haley to tap some trees next year. Right, Haley?
Oh, definitely. Someone sent me two today. I know Wild River State Park is going to be doing a maple syrup day on Saturday, April 5th from 11 to 3 p.m. And Wild River State Park is just an hour north of the Twin Cities area if you want to make that drive. Again, Saturday, April 5th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great, cool update. Yeah. Well, and what else is going on? Because it's the heartbeat, Franklin Avenue. I was there for the canoe. They were boiling the canoe.
Oh, the boiling? Cool. Yeah. How was it?
That was awesome. It was great to see Barry Hand and there were schools coming in and out during that time. And I had a chance to, I ran into an adoptee friend of mine, and we had lunch to talk about what's going on with the adoptee powwow and the monthly meetings. And so it was really fun to get on the avenue. And with my work, it's been hard to get going over there. And plus, we're watching our grandchildren. So now me and Haley are going to have to bring one of them over on Thursdays. We just don't know which one yet.
I look forward to seeing them. But there is a lot happening. That canoe project is so cool.
Yeah.
And one of our St. Paul-based nonprofits, the Walk On Teepee Center, had this idea for the project, but they didn't have the space yet. So they came over to Minneapolis, to the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and they've been working on digging out this canoe. And then they boiled it, which I didn't even know was something that you did. But I was talking to Mary Lagarde, my whiter sister, who's the director at the Indian Center. And she was talking to the folks working in it. She goes, you know, that canoe looks awfully small. She goes, I don't think I would even fit in it. How are you going to fit these big Ojibwe in that canoe? And that's when they explain, they boil it, which, you know, sort of stretches it out and sizes it right. And so
they boil the Ojibwe?
They boil the canoe.
Oh, okay.
Water and put, as you saw, they put hot stones in it, almost like a sweat, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was crazy. And it's funny, too. Barry Hand had something to do with this. And I know the Ho-Chunk did this and went down the Mississippi River last year. And now I feel like they're throwing down and want to race each other. So I might be involved with that, with my pontoon following along. And Haley, you're with me on shotgun on that, too.
Yeah.
Always in competition. Yeah. And another thing that NACD is doing in association with our food sovereignty work in Four Sisters, you know, we're preparing for Four Sisters market season, right? And one of the things that we do with our vendors and our Ho-Chunk sister, Destiny Jones, who manages the market, and she schedules business classes for the entrepreneurs who are who vend at our market, and then others as well are welcome. And so I think today, if I'm not mistaken, she's halfway through these trainings, you know, different business skills and things to increase the capacity and skills in our sort of grassroots level native entrepreneurs. And that is going really well. And like I said, it goes beyond just the market vendors, but it's just another offering from Four Sisters to build the capacity in the community.
You know, one of the things that we talk about is resisting, and we've been, and you came up with that great saying, especially a few months ago, about, you know, we're the resisting experts. And you guys are proven doing that, because you're not falling back on what's happening nationally. You're still pushing forward on the things that you've been doing and expanding. And I just got to say, that's the way to do it. Great job.
Right on. Thanks for that. And I think a lot of, you know, Native people or communities of color, this doesn't feel that different to us, right? Mm-hmm. We've been under attack for decades, centuries, really. And I'm starting to hear this more and more about how people are looking to communities like the Indigenous communities, communities of color, to figure out how to get through whatever this national nightmare of ours is. And I think you've heard me say this before, you know, this is a place where Native people can lead, right? We have something to offer the broader culture here, something very tangible. This is how you resist. This is how you survived being targeted by your government. We've done this, right? Tale as old as time in this country. And so I think, you know, I'm an optimist first, but also in crisis, there's always opportunity. And so how are we finding those opportunities?
You know, years ago, I heard a saying that every dangerous opportunity is dangerous wind and opportunity. And that's the Chinese word that's merged. Those two words are merged in their thing. And I've always thought about that. I didn't say that right, but it's, you know, every crisis is a dangerous opportunity.
Right. And so how do we find those opportunities? How do we keep our wits about us? How do we keep looking at the horizon and moving toward what's important to our communities, right? And then we'll figure it out, right? We'll figure it out how to maneuver through these difficult times. And just in my little world, and I'm an optimist, but I'm not Pollyanna. And, you know, there's so much pain coming into the community. You know, I'm part of government as well. There's pain there. We don't really know what's going on. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to be steady, to really embrace our Indigenous values, and to be planning for the next seven generations, right? So we have the next 2 years, the next 4 years, which are going to be challenging. And what about the next generation, the generation after that, the generation after that? It's, for me, that's a very comforting perspective.
Well, Robert Lilligren, big Peeny Geeky for coming on as always. We appreciate you. And, you know, I what I was trying to say too is that your mentorship has really brightened up Franklin Avenue. And I really appreciate you coming on and speaking what's happening. It's really...
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer just yesterday insisted that Democrats would block a short-term funding bill sent to them by the House, calling it too partisan. But he now says,
while the CR bill is very bad, the potential for a shutdown has consequences for America that are much, much worse.
The Trump administration is told by a federal judge in San Francisco to rehire some 30,000 probationary workers. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
We can see now that even though the Trump administration wanted to come in and make big changes, they did so in disregard from what the law would require.
Los Angeles County has dealt with fires, atmospheric rivers, mudslides, and now, according to a National Weather Service meteorologist, Ariel Cohen.
EF0 tornado did occur in Pico Rivera late last night, approximately 3:15 a.m.
It caused some tree damage and knocked out power to a neighborhood. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers advance. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Northwestern Wildcats today in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. The final, Wisconsin 70-63. John Tonjay asked if the Badgers were a little nervous heading into this one after the loss at home to Penn State over the weekend.
I don't think there was too much nerves for me. We knew it was going to be physical. We know every game at this level, especially in conference play, is going to be tough. So we just had to come out here with the right mindset, and I think me and the guys really came with that.
Wisconsin faces UCLA tomorrow afternoon around 1:30 in New York. Marquette winning today in a close one, 89-87 over Xavier at Madison Square Garden. The Golden Eagles advance in the Big East tournament against the number one seed St. John's tomorrow night around 5:30. NBA, Bucks host the LA Lakers tonight in Milwaukee, but LeBron James will not be there. He's back in LA getting treatment for a groin injury. The Bucks trying to snap a three-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Glenn Powell is not by any means desperate for work. In addition to filming a remake of The Running Man and Top Gun 3 on the horizon, Powell has just signed on to a new film called The Natural Order, a sci-fi thriller about the search for eternal life. The production is in the talks with Mufasa, The Lion King director Barry Jenkins. Jenkins also directed 2016's Moonlight, for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. Kelly Ripa and husband Mark Consuelos are often referred to as the cutest married couple ever around their dinner table. The overly perky co-hosts of Live with Kelly and Mark are great at self-promotion, and this time it's because Consuelos did a segment on the show with his fly open. The supposedly accidental open zipper became obvious when he leaned back in his chair. Producers thought quickly and moved to the next segment, which is called Stump Mark, which is a perfect segment name for a guy who forgets to pull up his zipper. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 40s. Breezy tomorrow with a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the mid-70s. Some showers and storms tomorrow night that will mix in with snow Saturday and windy with falling temperatures. Sunday, sunny but colder, high-low 40s. It's 55 right now.
Jim! Jim!
Yes, dear?
Don't forget, my parents are coming, so clean up the workshop and get your car out of the garage.
Ugh.
What was that?
Yes, dear?
Been there, my friend. Might be time to give the pros at Clery a call. We can build whatever you dream. Egg buildings, storage for your toys, even a place to get away from the in-laws.
Yes!
Experience the Clery difference during our Customer Appreciation Day sale, March 13th through the 15th. Visit clerybuilding.com for more.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do, and they got a new cool logo, too, I see. Awesome, Haley. Yeah. Haley, what's going on this weekend? I know we've had a lot of guests on in the past. I know Sunday you're going to be doing something, and I think I might stop by Saturday and maybe even Friday because it's free for elders, and I got my elder card, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you're an elder, come on down. This event is free for you all 3 days. I know if you have kids under five, I think was the age, I would double check, but those are free too. We're talking about the Minnesota first ever Akito Festival. And this is created by Willard Male Bear Jr., who is the owner of Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis, and then also owns that nonprofit Art Shelf, which is a creative community space for Indigenous artists to come use and hang out.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's super cool. But this is kind of Willard's little creative idea that he put together with the help of so many people. I'm so excited. This is a 3-day event at the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul. We're coming together in support of Indigenous talent, organizations, and communities celebrating tattooing, Native arts, and culture.
Yeah, and music, and there's going to be a lot of vendors there, too. So, and this is a huge deal, and, you know, it takes a lot of guts to do something like this because I'm trying to throw just a birthday party for myself and hope I get, you know, two people.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, so many community members are a part of this, and we're so thankful we have so many creative and talented people, especially our tattoo artists that are going to be live tattooing all weekend. There's going to be a couple of tattoo contests at the end of each day, so a little friendly competition as well. Are you getting tattooed, Robert?
I wonder how long it would take, because I don't know if I brought this up to you or brought it up to somebody. Oh, I brought it up to somebody else going, oh, I need a applique for my wrist. And somebody told me, you've been talking about that for 3 years. And
I think you were talking to me about that for 3 years.
Maybe that was you. And I went, oh, I have. Maybe I should do it or get a silver bracelet instead. Oh,
yeah. You could have Ho-Chunk relative and artist Josiah Thunder, who used to go by Woodland Thunder. I think he has a different name for his shop now, but great metal working artist as well. Josiah, shout out. But yeah, Minnesota Akito Festival, Friday, March 14th, the 15th and 16th. Do you, getting tattooed, Robert? Do you have tattoos?
I do have a huge tattoo on my back, but you know, I'm 63 now. So I have like not Dad Bob, like Grandpa Bod. So I don't ever take my shirt off anymore. So no one sees it.
No, we'll have to get you in that dugout canoe on the river, and then maybe people can see, get someone paddle behind you so they could see your tattoo.
You know what Robert said about that? It's so true. You've seen that, how they're for stealth people. I mean, these are little tiny things. I would worry to get, I would need help, one, getting out of the canoe, because it's so low, and then the sides. I mean, you're driving down the river with that, and we got boats flying by and making wakes.
Yeah, you are really low to the water level in that dugout canoe.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We have to, like, double life jacket you up or something. And, like, a diaper for a diaper elder life jacket, and then one around your
chest. We love doing the, when we used to have our big boat on St. Croix, we diaper dived all the time. But that's another show. That was probably Wendy and my old show called Pilot's Progressive Party, that we talk about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, I ask because us as natives, and I know Pacific Islander people too, you know, a lot of different indigenous communities kind of mark themselves with tattoos. It's part of our culture. It's mm-hmm. part of storytelling. It's also a part of marking different specific times in your life or different things to memorize things by. I have I think it's over 20. I definitely have lost count just of little tattoos that I've collected through my lifetime. But I'll be getting my bigger, fancier tattoo this weekend. So it'll be
a lion, right? You're going to get?
Not a lion. It's a wolf. Kind of close, but yeah, I just, and
it's a lot of detail. It's a lot of detail, whatever it is. It's a wolf with a lot of detail.
Ouch. Yeah, but you kind of save those bigger pieces for festivals like this where you get the super fancy big timer tattoo artist. So I'm excited. I want to give a shout out to Shannon Joyce. That's who is tattooing me. And she's also tattooing currently at Iktomi Tattoo in Minneapolis. So if you weren't able to get in a tattoo appointment this weekend at the festival, you can look up Iktomi in Minneapolis too and book an appointment.
Well, you know, and it's such a small community. I went to school with her dad at Ramsey Junior High before it was called the Hidden River, which is a much better name, in the 70s. So I've known Brian, who works at the Indian Center, since, well, he's a year older than me, so I've known him since like seventh grade. So
yeah, and that's kind of like how we say everyone's related, because right. I was talking to you about who was doing my tattoo, and you recognized the last name, and you were like, oh, we just had a little tour of the Indian Center by Brian, and that right. was, her dad. So everyone's related. I know Friday's day starts out at the festival is the opening starts at 10 a.m. and then they're going to do an opening ceremony, mm-hmm. A couple performances like drumming. That'll also be going on at 3:30. But yeah, they got stuff going on all throughout the day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, mm-hmm. a couple different poetry classes. There's a creative class with Gi Weiden, and Gi Weiden is a very big social media influencer. I believe he's Ojibwe, and Gi Weiden has a large following on TikTok. So it'll be cool that he'll be in the Twin, or they will be in the Twin Cities.
Oh, I know. He's been on the show. I know who that is. Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
They'll be in town. So on Friday.
He was at the Snow Snake. And again, that's really hard to say. Snow Snake, Chashke. You know, all these things are hard for me to say. I only speak Ho-Chunk, but very, very poor at Ho-Chunk in English. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. So there's a lot of people that are going to be showing up for this. I know Friday's musical performances include DJ AO, Joey Rainey, Jada Brown. Downtown Jada Brown will be performing at 9 p.m. on Friday. Then you also got Stella Standing Bear at 9:30. And that's just Friday's lineup.
Wow. Well, Jade has been a friend and on the show many times over the years, and a former gopher who went to the University of Minnesota too. So I got to give her a big shout out. Great voice. You know, and I know when you were doing that, it was a music show tattoo kind of thing with with those guys like Annie Humphrey and Jada sang too.
Fire in the Village with Annie Humphrey and David Hochfeldt. Yeah, Jada performed with them too. And I think they had Thomas X from Red Lake did a little surprise poetry performance too.
Well,
it was really good.
And, you know, again, how small the community is. So Thomas X's wife is Nancy Bolio's daughter.
Oh, no way. Yeah. See, I didn't even know that.
It's crazy. I just got a text from Nancy too. We got to get her on and play catch up here. We haven't talked to her.
I hope she's doing good.
She's doing a lot of good things. Her nonprofit's taken off, and a lot of things are happening up there in the Bemidji area. And she's been a hard worker for many years with the pipelines and Standing Rock and Line 3 and all those things. And so it'd be good to catch up with her. Haley, you know, I was joking that we have some land, some family land that we're getting, and you're going to be doing some fun things here in a couple weeks, and I might come along too with you sent it to me during break, what you're going to be doing. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah. So this will be kind of my first experience learning about sugar bushing, but I know Wild River State Park is doing a maple syrup day on Saturday, April 5th. And Wild River State Park is just about an hour, maybe a little bit north of the Twin Cities area. So it'd be cool to do a little day trip out there, get yourself in nature. I don't know who the native artist is or the native person that will be out there putting this on. I'll have to ask, but we'll be identifying sugar maple trees. We're going to be tapping trees, tasting some sap. Then we're going to visit the evaporator. So kind of learning about the whole process of sugar bushing. You're going to create a maple leaf craft and get to enjoy some of that syrup at the end of it.
I think we're going to send you next do some ricing. Oh, wow.
Hey, I would love to.
Get those sticks out there and get that canoe going.
I know.
Get some family rice for us. Oh, wow.
Let's do it. Hey, I know we got Bob Blake on now. Should we hear what Bob has to say, the solar bear with the solar news?
Yeah, let's get him on because we don't want him to escape. Hey, Mr. Hey. Vikings fan here. I see you're all excited about all these new signings. Oh, wow.
Hey, Robert. There is so the new solar data fact sheet just came out.
Oh.
And I wanted to tell everybody that there are 10,000 plus solar businesses in the USA, 279,447 people are employed. 279,447 Americans employed. And I just want everybody out there to understand that the solar industry is employing, you know, American people. And this administration is putting all that in jeopardy right now with their actions, Robert. Yeah. 235 gigawatts have been installed. 5,425 solar energy systems have been installed in the United States. Like I said, totaling about 236 gigawatts. 70.4 billion dollars was invested in 2024 alone. 41 states with a solar or battery manufacturing facility. So meaning that that is only expanding the jobs and the manufacturing base here in the United States. I mean, wow. These statistics, Roberts, are staggering. Today, nearly
Bob, 70. Let's talk some more and get in depth in the next segment here. You came on early, and we're going to really rock it with the solar bear with the solar news coming up next. And you're going to help us out with a big howl. Howl.
Oh.
Howl. I'm practicing. Howl. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Bob Blake, the solar bear with the solar news. And Haley, keeping it all together, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy.
Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/tap, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Hey, we are here with our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake. Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. I'd love to have you continue on what you're talking about. This is really important information that all our listeners should know.
Yeah, Robert. So right now, currently, clean energy is under attack. In Washington, right? Because we have somebody at the head of the head who is a former oil executive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is the person, you know, each administration is able to tap who they want to leave their energy department or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Their cabinet, right? And this president has picked an individual that used to be a former oil executive and has got all these ties into the fossil fuel industry. So anything that is renewable energy, anything that is electric vehicles, you know, they are trying to get rid of. But what they weren't prepared for, well, first of all the contracts that this country signed, right, with all these different states and all these different companies, the federal government just can't walk away from that, right? The second thing is the momentum that the previous administration put in place in all of these communities across the country that are investing heavily into renewables, electric vehicles, workforce development programs, manufacturing. I could just go on, right? And so that's what's happening. And this is a direct result. And this is the latest stat sheet that just came out from the Solar Energy Industry Association. And 500 gigawatts of new solar capacity will be installed by 2035. So, Robert, and so what I'm saying is this isn't going anywhere no matter what this administration tries to do. This will be a bump. This will be a bump in the road, right? But it's not going to stop what's happening. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 40.7 million homes, 44.7 million households. In 2024, a new solar project was installed every 54 seconds. 14% of new homes will have solar PV system by 2030. 28% of annual growth of the solar market over the past 10 years. And there are 44 gigawatts of utility scale batteries. Nearly 500,000 have been installed in energy systems. And 28% of energy systems installed in 24 have batteries. So this is really huge, and I'm super excited about all this because that means that this is only going to reduce the country's reliance on fossil fuels and limit the amount of greenhouse gases that we emit into the green air, into the air. Also, everyone, if you would like to get a job in the clean energy field, there is going to be a job fair out in Rogers, Minnesota, at the Haline Solar Factory. There's a solar manufacturing facility. It's 12716 Main Street, Rogers, Minnesota. This is where they're going to be making solar panels, Robert. The state of Minnesota invested a lot of money into helping this facility up here in the Twin Cities metro area to up. So if they have like over 100 jobs, management to like production, they're going to need security folks. I mean, you name it. They're having a job fair March 19th at 10 a.m. 127 Wunsick Main Street, Rogers, Minnesota, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And so if you want to get out and you want a really good job with benefits, a good hourly salary, and want to make a difference and fight climate change, this is like the perfect opportunity. So this, and like I just explained to you, all of those statistics are only growing, are only getting bigger. There are more and more projects are being developed, and they're going to be needing all these great solar panels that are going to be Minnesota made by Minnesotans and manufactured right here in the Twin Cities metro area.
Bob, when you first came on the show, we were talking about the only place we could get these were from China. This is amazing. This is amazing.
This is amazing. And, you know, I think what's really great about this, and let's be honest, because our governor, right, Governor Waltz has really been a leader, you know, in this space in advocating for, and our lieutenant governor, let's be honest. I mean, like our leadership right here in the state of Minnesota has been very, very vocal about, you know, where we produce our energy at is the most efficient way that we can use it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they understand this and they have invested heavily into this industry. And what this does, Robert, and this is really great, because what it does is it expands, right? Because off of this, other jobs, other opportunities will come, other industries, battery manufacturing is coming to the state of Minnesota. I'm hearing like other solar, other renewable energy industries are looking into Minnesota and putting their businesses here. And this only brings a lot of smart people here. It brings more businesses here and really helps our economy here, you know?
Right.
And so
the tax base, it's just a phenomenal. And then people living here and spending money and, you know, on and on and on how the economy works. That's just fabulous information that you're talking about, especially with what's going down in Rogers.
Well, yeah. We are susceptible to, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but 25% energy tariffs, right? From places like Canada and other spots that, you know, when we're trying to ship energy from North Dakota, right, that uses coal, right, into our state where we have a big tourism industry that, you know, we have all these lakes, and this is really huge for people to want to come and clean lakes. But when you get all of that mercury and everything flowing over the airways and it goes down into our waterways, we are a headwater state. We have a responsibility to take care of the Mississippi that goes down and provides water for the rest of the country. So there is a lot of things I think in Minnesota that we realize, but I think as we get more down into what we can do, clean energy is the best way that I think we can support the rest of the country, the rest of the businesses. And of course we have, you know, national leadership out there that are being very vocal about this and about energy independence. So I think it's a win-win all the way around, Robert. And I think we need to continue to move down this road. And I'm hoping that our politicians, our leaders, see it that way. And that's what's happening coming out of the federal level.
I wanted to bring up with Bob and Robert Lilligren, and now I have Robert Blake, and I'm Robert Pilot, and Haley's new name's Robert Haley.
Yeah, I guess.
And we have to support those two candidates down in Florida nationally, and we could switch the House if we can get those two voted in, and hopefully the tide's changing because of what's happening with our economy right now, and that these ideas that are coming out of Washington from MAGA are not good. So I just wanted to throw that out there too.
I'm donating. Solar Bear is going to donate to those candidates. I am sending out my donation to the Democratic Party and then we've got Nick Martin who was here, you know what I mean? Who's out there locally now, nationally now, for the Democratic Party. So support the Democratic Party and let's get these guys into the House.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Have you noticed that Donald Trump's position on Ukraine seems to change daily? We break it all down for you at 2:30 with Dr. Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he will vote yes to advance the GOP funding bill to keep the government open, but says other Democrats may not follow.
I believe it is my job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms to the American people. Therefore, I will vote to keep the government open and not shut it down.
President Trump plans to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 as part of his push against illegal immigration. CBS's Camilo Montoya-Galvez.
We are told by U.S. officials that the targeted group is expected to be suspected members of the Tren de Aragua prison gang, which is comprised mostly of Venezuelan nationals.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says that Russia agrees in principle with the U.S. ceasefire proposal with Ukraine, but the terms need to be worked out. He also says through an interpreter.
We are in favor of it, but there are nuances.
President Trump says he hopes Russia accepts the plan. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host of